hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, the continuing coverage of the Miami International Boat Show. I mean, look, we are a dive show, but you got to usually use a boat to get to the dive site. So it only makes sense to do some broadcasting here from this event, the largest indoor boat show, I believe, in the world, if not at least the United States. Captain Marlon Scott with me from the Florida Keys. He brought a buddy along, Andy Newman from the Florida Keys Tourism Council. Did I get it right, Andy?
You got it right there, Greg.
Yeah, now, Andy, obviously the man of the know when it comes to the Florida Keys, and we're talking a little bit about some of the diving opportunities that are down there right now. One of the things we touched on towards the end of Hour 1 was some of the news reports that the temperatures in Florida, you know, that cold weather snap we had a few weeks ago where it was record-breaking, 2 weeks solid of freezing temperatures. You know, all of a sudden you hear, like, you know, the world is ending in Florida. Everything has died. The water temp, you know, dropped off the, you know, record low temperatures, and it killed all these fish, manatees. There's nothing left. If you read some of the news stories in some of the newspapers across the country, but that's not the case, Andrew. Right?
Fortunately, that is not the case, Greg.
Yes. And so he's still employed. He has something to promote. That's a good thing.
Well, and listen, let's face it. Our natural resources are what we sell in the Florida Keys, and also throughout the state of Florida. And I also know what sells media, you know, outlets, newspapers, magazines.
If it bleeds, it leads. If it dies, it's first on the headline. I don't know.
Let's not diminish the truth, okay? And certainly, and it wasn't the fact that we had those severe cold temperatures for, you know, 1 or 2 days. You know, that we had a period of time there for about 10 days when it was really, really cool, and that was a problem. And certainly there was loss of manatees. There was loss of marine life up and down the, you know, both coasts of Florida, but to sit there and to say that we lost all our marine life is simply not true. We have some evidence of that. I think down in the south part of Florida, where we were most impacted, is in some shallow waters, especially in Florida Bay, around Everglades National Park, and certainly there were some significant impacts to fisheries like snook, okay, and to like redfish. But there were some very, very early reports of massive mortality to bonefish. Well, that's not true, because we had a guide last week that went out of Alamorada, and he caught and released 16 bonefish in 1.5 day.
Nice.
Okay, so I know this is a dive show, but that's a spectacular catch when it comes to flats fishing. Captain Scott here can probably quite much attest to that.
Yeah, I've done a little bone fishing. Fishing was the key. I didn't do any catching. Right. But if I would have came there, I actually would have done some catching that day. Okay. So the point is, the bone fish, maybe they went out to deeper water. They got away from it. Everything obviously hasn't died. There's still plenty to see. Right. What kills there were, it was shallow water stuff. The corals will rebound in the shallow water, but it didn't affect places like Molasses Reef and Key Largo or some of the more popular dive sites,
and
right?
That I think that's a real key statement that you've just made there, especially for your listeners, okay, Greg, because most of those dive spots, which are in the outer reefs, okay, Molasses Reef you mentioned, and all up and down the Keys, you know, that they're in geographic areas where they're very close to the Gulf Stream. Okay, and that warm temperature of the Gulf Stream water. So that those areas didn't really suffer any kind of significant impact because of the cooler temperatures, because the cold water never really got out that far. So now the interesting thing was that I was speaking to a couple of dive shop owners back in early January, talking about a time period from just after New Year's to about mid January or so, when we had those 8 or 9, 10 days of relatively cold temperatures. And what they were telling me was that they were seeing like these species from shallow waters that were out there on the reef warming up, like tarpon, and even some snook, and they even saw some redfish and occasionally a bonefish. And then see a bonefish on the reef was like absurd. But they were seeing a tremendous amount of these shallow water species that had migrated temporarily to the reef, to warm up. So sort of like the snowbirds up north. By the way, it's pretty cold up there right now, isn't it?
I heard that, what are they calling it, Armageddon or Snowmageddon?
Snowmageddon.
All I can say is I'm glad I'm not them, right?
You're absolutely right about that. We have a little cold front pushing through, I think, right now. But I don't think in the Keys tonight gets much below 55 or so. And our normal temperature this time of the year, for the evening hours, is in like the mid to upper 60s, and the daytime hours are the mid to upper 70s or so. So
yeah, I mean, we complain about 55, and people up north are barricaded in their homes for weeks on end, like living the life of a bear in hibernation or something. So yeah, we got it pretty good here down in South Florida, especially down in the Keys. Now, what about, you mentioned the shallow water fish going out to the reef. What Scott, help me out here. What about the deep water, cooler, water loving fish? Are they coming in? Are you getting reports that they're coming into the reef for the divers? Possibly as well?
Well, we had a report of it, and it happened last week off of Key West, just off the Vandenberg. We've been waiting for this, Andy. We worked with the Vandenberg. Andy and I worked very closely. He did all the work. I watched him do it, is basically how it worked. The Vandenberg has now produced a couple divers that were able to swim in a school of sailfish. Now, that is good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be huge. I mean, you get out there and do some diving yourself, Andy, or you just talk about promoting it all the time.
With you, okay? I because I believe in being honest. Okay, I talk about it. Okay, I have been offered 1,000 times to be certified by a bunch of my friends down there that own dive shops. I'm really, as Captain Scott calls me, I'm a fish head.
Okay, you like do a little fish snorkeling. What about that?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes, absolutely.
That counts.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely snorkeler, absolutely that, And I get such little precious few time for recreation. I'm just a fish head. I can't help it,
Yeah, well, I know there's a lot of stuff to promote down there in the Keys. He's a busy man. I mean, you got Fantasy Fest. You got so many different events. You got lobster season. I mean, what are you hearing business-wise from, some of the dive operators throughout the Keys, from Key Largo to Key West? Are they starting to see a glimmer of hope in the economy? Is it still really rough, or are we coming out of the fog a little bit?
I got to tell you something. Probably those dive operators, the snorkel operators, haven't done that bad, down in the Keys. It's a relatively, moderately priced recreational activity, for an add-on for vacationers down there. Our resorts, okay, we just got the numbers for 2009, okay, and the Florida Keys average daily occupancy was the highest in the state of Florida. Okay, the only destination that actually grew occupancy a little bit, okay, and then our occupancy daily rate, okay, was down about 10% from the year before, but it still was the best performing in the state of Florida. So what that tells me is that the Keys are still a very desired destination. We get a tremendous amount of traffic, in the summertime and in the springtime, especially the off season. I mean, that's when divers really love to come down. By the way. It's in that spring, summer, and early fall. And that's great, too, because that is the absolute best timing in terms of value for a Florida Keys vacation.
Yeah, it was springtime, really. From the spring to fall is best time to go down to the Keys.
I mean the absolute best value is like right after Labor Day till about the third week of October or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Okay, I got you. So the summertime, right?
Right,
yeah,
right,
to get down there,
exactly.
When all the kids have to go back to school and things slow down just a little bit. That in the conditions for diving, that's the ideal dive season.
It is. Normally calmest water, visibility is really good. We talked about the Vandenberg a little bit, and the Vandenberg every day it matures and evolves ourselves as an ecosystem. And I mean, it's been a wonderful, wonderful boon for Key West. You know, but I mean, speaking to the folks at Dive Key West, Bob Holson, CC Roycraft, their business this summer was the best in their 34 years of operation.
Yeah, I've heard that report too, and I've had the opportunity to dive it with Captain Marlon Scott there once, and I was blown away by the life I saw on this wreck. I mean, it was just schools and schools of bait fish I did not expect to see on a wreck that's only been down a few months when I dove it at the time. And yeah, talking to the dive operators there, Dive Key West, they really, you know, this has definitely been the perfect timing for them as far as getting all this new business. It seems to me, and you have all the numbers, but it seems to me the Vandenberg has been a huge, huge success, especially for Key West. Is that true?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. It really has done a tremendous job in terms of putting Key West on the map as that southern, or that actually it's the west end of the Florida Keys Historic Shipwreck Trail. And you've got these two big ships as bookends, the Spiegel Grove up in Key Largo, the Vandenberg in Key West, and all the other wrecks in between. And really, you know, something that's what it's all about, because what that's doing, you know, beyond just an added attraction for divers, it's helping to take our dive pressure off natural coral reefs. And that's really key. And I think it's really helping to do that. You know, one of the stories, and I told this to Captain Scott, when we did our 2 days after the Vandenberg was scuttled, we did a media dive out on the ship. And we pulled up to the mooring ball, tied up. We drifted back, and I looked behind the boat, and I saw about a 25-pound slammer dolphin, as in mahi-mahi. We're not talking about flipper now. Okay?
Right, got it.
The dolphin fish, which is beautiful, fights great, and it's wonderful eating, and it's my favorite fish to catch.
Yeah, they're cool to see underwater if you're diving, too.
And I looked back there, and I saw this fish, and he came right up and smelled the transom. That's how close he was. And I screamed. I said, "Get me a rod right now." And the captain of the boat says, "This ain't no fishing boat. It's a dive boat. We have no fishing equipment on this boat." I said, "Oh, God, it killed me. It just absolutely killed me."
Yeah, well, from a fishing perspective, I feel your pain. They are great tasting fish. They are indeed. But they look cool underwater, too. You know, we went to did the dolphin rodeo with Captain Marlon Scott there last year, and that was truly a remarkable experience because there was some spear fishing going on. I was in the water filming the whole thing, and those are cool-looking fish from a diving perspective and from an eating perspective. It's like the perfect fish.
You know, dolphin, too, we've had them all year, which has been weird. One of the things the recession has caused is less traffic. We know that as far as the boats go. Our fishery is fantastic in the Florida Keys. Our diving right now is fantastic. We had reports of 80 foot of vis last week on the reef and on the Vandenberg. In fact, all the way up to Key Largo on all of the wrecks, we've had vis up to 80. Sometimes, and I hate to say it, anytime you say 100, everybody kind of raises their eyebrow, but I have seen 100 foot of visibility within the last couple weeks.
Very nice. Andy, what's the website people can go to for the Florida Keys for just general information, fishing, diving, boating, you name it?
You name it. It's there. It's flakeys.com. That's flakeys.com.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
I do like the water.
Oh, water and fish. If you paid half as much attention to me as you do those fish, I'd be the happiest wife in Flatbush.
Give me some water, 'cause I shot a man on the Mexican border. Cuckoo water, give me some water.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. We've moved to dinner here at Joe's Stone Crab, famous landmark restaurant in Miami Beach. We obviously left the convention center, the Miami Boat Show, went over to the Green Machine, my vehicle, in the parking lot, and I got a little welcoming present here from Miami.
Yeah, here you go. I want that is what you had to have. I can't believe that. Can you, I mean, we came back to the truck, and the window was smashed in. And the funny thing is all his expensive electronic equipment was there, his laptop, his cell phone, or his your actual radar detector was there.
I had all my stuff, valuable equipment inside my vehicle. And you know what they decided to take? They decided to take my luggage bag that included two World of Boating shirts. So if you see a homeless guy walking the streets in Miami Beach this weekend, beat the crap out of him because he ripped me off.
Yeah, World of Boating. Anybody you see in a World of Boating shirt like you're wearing right there, Greg, and you
That's
wear
right.
every day, just go ahead and run them down, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's that's how they welcome people here in Miami. That's what I hear.
The thing was, Greg, is where it was, there, just so you know, the yep. Days Inn on South Beach, right, there's a city parking right off the beach. So if you're on the beach this weekend or in the next week or two and you see anybody running around with that T-shirt, what else did you have in there? I mean, you didn't have your cheetah underwear again, right?
Oh, man. You just, oh, gosh, that's right. That stuff's irreplaceable. Maybe you know what it was. It was a stalker. That's what they decided to take my clothes. I have a Scuba Radio stalker, you think?
You can see them right now. They're sitting there. Oh, and Greg wore this yesterday. I can smell him. I can smell him.
I recognize those skid marks anywhere.
Oh,
oh
nice.
Boy. Yeah, well, hey. So yeah, you know, we've had an unfortunate incident. That said, here we are at Joe's Stone Crab, and I've actually wanted to eat at this place for years. I come down to Miami, and you hear about this restaurant, world famous for their stone crab claws. And Andy Newman was nice enough to invite me to their little Florida Keys press junket. Where they're serving up some claws for us tonight.
Well, you know what else is? We're lucky enough to be here tonight, and I'm around. We've been seeing people all day at the Miami Boat Show. The International Boat Show is really quite a place to meet people. You know, we got famous people. And I'm sitting next to one of my heroes, who's Captain Rick Murphy, which I've got really big news. I mean, Florida Insider Fishing Report, which used to be the Chevy Fishing Report for Florida, is right. Now coming back as the Florida Insider Fishing Report. Big news, and Rick's right here with me. We got also Mike Zimmer and the representatives of the Dram Buoy. We've got the representatives of the World Sailfish. And as I look at them, it looks like we've got a couple magazine guys here. The long table, big place, a lot of noise.
Yeah, matter we got a neighbor. I here I am at the Miami Boat Show doing a little boating, fishing, and diving coverage here for Scuba Radio. And I run into literally a neighbor that lives a few houses down from me. And I actually may have to bum some clothes from him. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the thing is Greg, I don't think it'll fit. He's in pretty good shape.
Oh, yeah. What, kick me while I'm down? What is up with that there, Scott? Come on now. All right, let's talk about your fishing report guy. What's going on here with Rick?
Well, if you have ever heard the name Captain Rick Murphy, now, yep. He's synonymous with one of the longest-running fishing, so very long, 17 years, right, Rick? Yeah, as he nods his head, he says, yeah, that's right. Well, what it is he's got two different shows. He's got, of course, Sportsman's Adventure. You know that one. That one is yep. The one he's been running forever. He's also was doing the Chevy Fishing Report. Now, when it went off the air, you know about that whole GM thing, right? I mean, that GM thing caused a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, but now GM's great because Toyota's in the crapper.
That's
so.
Right. Toyota's the problem now, so we love GM again. Well,
that's right.
Yeah. Well, what happened is when that all went down, of course, the advertising dollars have changed when it comes to media and TV and all that. Well, now, apparently, things are coming around a bit, and Rick Murphy is going to be back on the Florida Insider Fishing Report. Now, this is something that everybody wished they had on. They missed it when it was gone, but it's coming back.
Very good. All right, well, we'll talk to Rick here as we munch on stone crab claws here at Joe's stone crab. What is this? Stone crab fiesta?
No fiesta. No, this is Joe's
stone crab. That's a famous landmark restaurant here in Miami Beach. And I hear that after I have a crab claw or two, I will care less about the fact that somebody in Miami, some homeless guy, is walking around in my underwear.
Yeah, well, you know, that thought really, really, I mean, I don't know if I can eat now.
Hey, good point. That makes me a little nauseous. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection. And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Now, we are at the Miami International Boat Show. Actually, we're at Joe's Stone Crab here at the moment, getting ready to chow down on some food. But we're hanging around a lot of fishermen, a lot of boaters, and Captain Marlon Scott with me from the Florida Keys, Captain Rick Murphy, your buddy, your TV guy. So we're going to take this from a diving perspective there, right, Scott?
Right.
Because, like, they got to film these fishing shows from underwater.
They're underwater all the time, and they were one of the innovators when it came to underwater filming. So what you want to do with this one, Greg, is they have the cutting edge camera cases. You can bet on that. And also the stories about breaking cameras underwater. I guarantee you Rick's got a story about camera problems underwater. Is it true, Rick? Right there, you can see him nodding his head.
Yeah, how does that work? Is that a great gig, by the way, if you're a scuba diver? Because you need to be certified to scuba dive to be one of these film crew workers, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the guy that does my show, a guy named Mike Zimmer, he is the only certified diver that NBC6 here in Miami has. So he does all the underwater NBC6 footage. And even now that he's retired from NBC6, when they need underwater footage, they call him and they make sure that he's available to do stuff when they have things that are port related and whatnot. But the cool part about having an underwater guy that's your full-time staffer, he shoots above the water and under the water, is that you always get the bird's eye view from the top, and you get the fish-eyed view from down below.
Right.
And so what really is neat is, like, one of the things that come to mind is Mike shot a shot in Guatemala where we tease these sailfish on. We're doing a fly fishing show, catching sailfish. He dives in the water. They take the boat out of gear. And this sailfish comes and goes screaming right by him, all lit up. And I turn around and I throw the fly literally 3 inches from the lens. And the sailfish comes up from the side, eats the fly going away, and he has it all captured. One of the neatest shots that I've ever seen underwater. And it was all done, but strictly because he went ahead and got in the water before the fish was hooked. And that's the kind of stuff that separates the men from the boys.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This place is completely freeing. Would you believe that today I dabbled in public nudity? Daphne and I found a secluded cove on the beach. We shed our garments and surrendered ourselves to the sand, the sea, and one rather curious grouper.
Down.
Now, we're talking with Captain Rick Murphy here with the Florida Insider Fishing Report. You can go there, FloridaInsiderFishingReport.com. Now, we're obviously talking about a fishing TV show that he does, but we're talking about what it takes to be a diver to film some of this action. You talked about your buddy there who does your show, who filmed that sequence with the swordfish. I mean, that's pretty harrowing stuff for somebody like me. Now, I like to dive and stuff, but I know that when you're talking about hooks in the water, bait in the water, the fish, the sharks, God knows what else is out there looking. It can get a little hairy at times if you have someone in the water. Does he ever get nervous from that perspective? Do you have to have, like, balls of steel to be one of these underwater videographers or what?
Well, definitely you got to have a pretty good set of them. But the other thing is that we always have either the captain that's on the boat or another cameraman always looking out. We had an incident with Jeffrey Cardenas filming in the Marquesas where we caught this big barracuda. This is going back a few years ago on a Sportsman's Adventure episode. And we told our underwater cameraman, he said, Barky, different guy, not Mike. Mike was up on top shooting. And Barky gets in the water, and he's following this cuda all over the place. Well, this bull shark got locked in on the stress scent that that cuda had put out during the fight. Even though we had caught this cuda and released the cuda, this bull shark had followed the track of everywhere that barracuda went while hooked on that light tackle. And I looked up, and here he comes. And he's at 100 yards, and he's doing the zigzagging, and he's coming to the boat. So we start yelling, Barky, get out of the water. Barky, get out of the water.
Shark, he can't hear you underwater.
No. He pops his head up, and he said, get out of the water. There's a shark coming. And then he's going to argue with us and say, quit bullshitting us. Well, guess what? You know, I said, we ain't messing around. Barky, get your butt out of the water. I didn't use the word butt, and I'm going to tell you, he got in the water, and that bull shark, an eight-footer, went cruising and went right underneath the boat, and he would have ate him if he hadn't pulled him out of the water.
Nice. Okay, so I'm guessing he makes the big bucks.
He makes the big bucks. I mean, he's the third owner in the deal, so whatever big bucks are in the TV world, he owns a third of it.
Yeah, well, you know, there you go. And he's earned every penny, it sounds like to me. You know, but it sounds like that would be a cool gig. I mean, he's probably found a pretty interesting little niche for himself with your production, but you said he does a lot of the stuff for the TV station down here in Miami, right?
Absolutely. You know, been working at NBC6 for 28 years. These guys, that's what makes them so great, is that they came from the news world. And it's never, timeout, can you put the space shuttle back down on the launch pad because I missed it. And they have this unique sense of knowing when to pick up the camera, when to turn the camera on. Maybe it's used because of shooting news. They can read my language, my body language, or even the fish. Because they're both very good fishermen, they really understand what that fish is thinking and what he's doing. And they've seen it over the last 17 years of filming Sportsman's Adventures. They really know when to pull the trigger on the camera and make sure they're rolling.
Very nice. Well, obviously, you can catch some of this footage at Florida Insider Fishing Report or on the TV show. And, of course, go to the website, FloridaInsiderFishingReport.com, right? And they get all the TV times and that kind of thing.
Yep, that's when the show's going to come back on the air in April. It'll be on Thursday nights, Thursday night late, with a repeat on Friday and another repeat on Saturday. So for that weekend guy who's planning a fishing trip, he can tune into the fishing report and get an idea of what's happening throughout the state as well as in his own backyard.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of force fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, force fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes force fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of force fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Oh, shark farts.
Now if I was as rich as the Aga Khan, I'd tell you what I would do. Buy every man, woman, and child on this planet a mask and a snorkel too. Then I'd lead that wild migration, destination Waimea Bay. Then we'd splash our way around the world. Life is just a water ballet. You know how to move. Let's glide across the water like a steel guitar. Beautiful swimmers, stay in the groove, catching constant.
All right, I'm hanging out at Joe's Stone Crab in Miami. We're waiting for the stone crabs to arrive. And we're at this press event, thanks to the Florida Keys Tourism Office and Captain Marlon Scott, Andy Newman, the gang. And you just heard Captain Rick Murphy. And lo and behold, the guy sitting right next to me is my neighbor. I kid you not, small world, but he worked at World Publications there in Winter Park, right?
Hey, Greg. Yeah, it's Bonnier Corporation now, right in Winter Park, and one of the largest consumer magazine groups in the country, and one of the largest properties of marine media entities, really, in the world.
And that's right. Well, it used to be World Pub. Yeah, now it's Bonnier. It was bought by Bonnier. And you're the editor of Fly Fishing Magazine. Now, Mike is literally a neighbor of mine in Orlando, Florida. And I didn't know Mike until probably about a year ago, until all this homeowners association hell that I told you about a few weeks ago or over the last year. Every once in a while I'd come into the show in a pissy mood. And Mike knows why. is all too well, and we start dealing with this crap going on in our neighborhood, and then he finds out that I do scuba radio, and he says, yeah, I work at Bonnier. It's Fly Fishing magazine, that's the one.
It's actually Fly Fishing in Salt Waters, and it's one of a number of fly fishing magazines. We deal pretty much strictly in the saltwater, and you talked with Rick. Rick's one of the finest fly fishermen, saltwater fly fishermen. Really, in the last 100 years, Rick is really a real talent, obviously, down in South Florida in the Keys. But we've talked before, and it's funny, Greg. Here we are in Miami, and we bumped into each other, and lo and behold, it's funny. We live a few homes down from each other, and We really got to know each other, really, I guess, over the last year or so, year and a half.
You know, hanging out with Mike at some of these meetings we had with our homeowners association was like one of the only good things. It's like finding someone who has a passion for outdoor, you know, life activities, whether it's fishing, snorkeling. Or do you do any diving, Mike? I mean, you're doing a lot of the fishing stuff, but what about snorkeling, diving, that kind of thing?
You know, I really don't, Greg. You know, it's funny. I never got certified as a diver when I was younger. I hung out with a lot of guys. I lived down in Jupiter, Florida, that dove, and I never did, and I regret it to this day. I do a lot of snorkeling, and I've been thinking a lot about that lately. I just, going under the water, you know, I spend a lot of my time on a boat on top of the water, you know, we're fishing, but I've just been thinking a lot more about that, about how wonderful it would be just to get down there. And a lot of guys are doing that, you know, when fish are around the boat now, they're jumping in and checking stuff out under the water, and I just think it's so cool.
Yeah, well, you know, the stone crab we're going to feast on here at Joe's Stone Crab in Miami was gathered by a diver, and you know, I'm a dive instructor, Mike. You know, did you know that? Outside of the HOA world that we found ourselves in that was so aggravating, that I actually scuba dive, but I teach. I can hook you up, man.
We need to do something about that.
You could teach me some fly fishing techniques, and I could teach you to dive. We could work a deal.
It's a done deal. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to meet halfway between our homes. We'll just meet right there in the street. We'll do some fly casting. You know, you can give me some instruction on diving, and we'll just make a real big spectacle right there.
We'll
in the
make it a
there.
Homeowners Association block party. What do you think? A block party? That'll go over well.
That could. I don't know. That might be against the rules, though. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of rules. You know,
a lot of rules, but rules are for breaking, Mike, right?
If you're not testing the boundaries of these rules, I mean, what the heck? I mean, they're going to keep building, and what the heck? I mean, we're not living in the USSR, I don't think, yet.
Well, yeah. Well, outside of our neighborhood, that is the case. I'm not so sure if that's the case. It's a long story. I'm not going to go there, but just know I've been in HOA hell as well as Mike for the last couple of years. And everybody's got problems, and what do you do? Thank God I can go to some exotic dive destination and get my mind off that crap. You know what I'm saying? And you do the same, right? You go over to the Bahamas, do some fly fishing, or what?
Well, you know, I'm very, very lucky, as you are, Greg. We get to travel to a lot of beautiful locations in the world, and in Florida, too, for that matter. And it's really a passion of a lot of people in Florida, and heck, the world over, is to get in the water. It's a whole new world, you know, when you get out there, whether you're fishing and you see some incredible action on the surface, or you get down below, you see, it's almost like you're on another planet, you know. No doubt.
Now, are you doing like the fly fishing, like bone fishing type stuff over in the flats, over in the Bahamas and the Keys, or what's your forte, or is there just all of the above kind of thing?
You know, the neat thing about it, Greg, is that you can really throw a fly at any fish that swims in any ocean or any lake or any river. In fact, I'll probably be going to Guatemala in about a month from now, the Casa Vieja Lodge down there. And we're going to be fly fishing for sailfish and marlin. And it's, you know, it's something that was pioneered back in, you know, quite some time ago. But with the equipment changes and everything, has come a long way. You can do a lot of neat things now. But traditionally, you're fly fishing for fish like bonefish, tarpon. And again, Captain Rick is obviously really, really a skilled one. He's won a lot of big tarpon tournaments, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, he's telling us about his new show and that kind of thing. And I always look at it from beneath the water sometimes. And I was asking him how they're capturing all that footage. I have a diver in the water. See, that could be something you could try. But I got to tell you, I'm not so sure if I'm excited or I have the chutzpah to get underwater when you're fishing for a marlin or something. They can get a little wily, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not so sure that's the best safe environment for a scuba diver. You might want to take baby. We'll go snorkeling, do a little easy diving without. But then maybe you can incorporate it in some of your fishing cover.
Yeah, you know, it's a great idea. A lot of guys are doing it. You know, in the magazine and in fly fishing and saltwaters, we usually, you know, we're using more and more underwater photography now.
Slide right in here.
All right, no, but hey, they're bringing on the stone crab. That's good.
You see that? The waiters are doing his job. Excellent job there, Joe Stone Crab.
Absolutely. All right, we're coming up. Stay close. We got to eat.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Stanley that I have asthma, because I don't. If it gets out, they won't let me scuba. If I can't scuba, then what's this all been about? What am I working toward?
Take it on.
All right, I got to say, after feasting on Joe's crab claws here in Miami, it almost makes up for the fact that some homeless guy is walking around in my underwear right now after being ripped off. That was an amazing meal, Scott.
Now, Greg, you got to admit, I mean, the talent that were around, you realize who we're with. You're talking about Captain Jim Sharp is down here, Andy Newman. You got Mike Zimmer. You got Rick Murphy. You've got George Poveromo. All of these names are synonymous with talent, expertise, celebrity. Some of the cutting-edge media people. You were part of that, eating stone crabs with them. Now, granted, there is only 22 people here, I believe. We're part of an elite group. Be very proud you're here at this table. You've arrived.
Yes, well, and I think the 20 people have devoured about 150 stone crab claws here at Joe's Stone Crab. Take it away. My God, that was amazing. Those are, I can't believe how tasty these little critters are. I thought lobster was the king of the sea when it comes to lobster hunting and being the lobster slayer. I might have to turn into the stone crab slayer.
Stone crab slayer. I know how to do that. Now, I used to do a lot of stone crab. Now, Greg, what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab my napkin. Watch my hand here. Now, this is how you get a stone crab, all right?
Yeah.
Now, a stone crab has very big claws.
Yeah, I ate powerful. A few of them.
Yeah, you ate a bunch. You're full now, right?
That's good.
Okay, now what you do is you take under the napkin, okay? Now, that's a ledge, okay, or a little rock, maybe
right.
A hole in the limestone.
Where the crab is hanging out.
Reach your hand in there. Now, you saw the size of those claws.
Yeah, those are big claws.
The bigger they get, the harder they pinch, okay?
Yes,
so
I would think so.
When you reach in that hole, you get your hand over the top of the actual stone crab.
So you sacrifice a hand, you just pick one,
you have pain the first couple of times, but once you have the kind of pain that a stone crab will give you, you have no pain no more, because you won't do it again, it hurts that bad. You hold him down to the mud.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you smash him down, kind of, hold him down.
You don't kill him, but you hold him down so he can't move his claws.
Okay.
Then you reach your other hand into the hole, you grab one claw. And then when you get the one claw, you got to reach over to the other claw. Then you slowly work him out of the hole, and you take your hold there and snap, snap, you got claws.
They are big, though. That would have to be fairly intimidating to grab your first stone crab claw.
Well, you know what? They are intimidating, and then they pinch you. And then they hurt like hell. And then you finally get the tools that you need. You get to the point where you don't want to get pinched anymore.
Yeah, well, you know what? You got to get motivation here at Joe's Stone Crab and eat these little things. And then you're like, I don't care. It's worth the pain. All the pain in the world is worth that little sweet meat we just ate. Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. Thank you, Andy Newman from the Florida Keys, for making it happen. And, hey, that'll do it from South Florida. Next week, we're in Chicago. Don't miss us. 40-year anniversary of Our World Underwater. Till then, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good night, everybody. Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.